bought my dream car.
Oh, yes, you have.
There's no way a Land Rover would have its bonnet open.
No.
Rory.
Okay, yeah.
Rory, you broke down in your Defender 2 weeks ago.
I got another Instagram message from a man in a town called Bradford. And what do we know about Bradford?
Don't buy a car from Bradford.
Yes.
So you bought a...
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Auto Alex podcast, home of automotive financial mistakes, our life in cars and your questions answered. Today, Taylor.
Hello.
Rory.
Hello.
And I will fill your ear and your eye holes with what we've been up to. And Taylor, we've been up to a lot.
Oh, we've made a lot of
naughty business
purchases.
Yeah, we'll also answer your car dilemmas. And we won't play a game because we'll run out of time.
Pretty much, we've
got a lot of stuff to get through today.
Also, sorry, podcast has not been.
Rory's been off his game.
No,
do you
Rory's
know why that is? Skiing. He's been on holiday again. Third holiday.
This is nothing to do with that. We have done a lot recently.
Rory's done a lot of holiday.
Okay.
Are you tired from your holidays? Is it exhausting?
I am actually. Yeah.
Before we get into all of that, though, a massive hello to Martin from Scotland, currently fixing his smart roadster. Shelley Norris, who saw Taylor float past him in Jeff, the Range Rover Sport.
Oh, hello.
We've got Paul Reynolds, who broke down not long after buying his new Rover 220 Tomcat from Newquay on his way home to Aberdeen.
That's a long way.
That's 13 hours, apparently.
He also did buy a Rover Tomcat.
He did, so yeah. That was your first mistake.
They're very reliable cars, I love you know.
Oh, yeah, ours went really well.
Mm. Yeah, it was a good car.
Anyway, Stephen Cook checking in on his way home to the UK, having watched the Daytona 500. Rich, who's just bought a BMW 645 for £2,000.
Good luck.
Robin Francis, binge listening on his 60-mile commute between Kent and London. And
Rory's mum, Jackie.
You're right, mum.
You're right, mum. Is she all right?
Yeah, doing all right.
Good. Yeah. Excellent. Happy days. All right. Let's dive into what we've been up to, because we've been up to so much stuff.
Lots.
But because Rory hasn't been up to much. Rory, what have you been up to?
I went to Rome.
You went to Rome. He went on another holiday.
I did,
How was it? Was it lovely?
It was a little weekend, extended weekend getaway.
Yeah. Do you know, I've always wanted to go to Rome.
You've not been to Rome?
No, I've never been. I've always wanted to see the Leaning Tower of Pizza.
Okay, mm-hmm. Completely different place. But
is it actually?
Yeah, that's in a place called Pisa.
Yeah.
Oh, that would say a lot.
How was the
I didn't actually know that. Didn't know that, but they do have the Colosseum there, don't they?
At Pisa?
No, that's in Rome, isn't it? You're winding me up.
The Colosseum's in Rome.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Rory, how was the tapas?
The food was good.
Was it really?
Yeah. Do you know what? Rome is so cheap.
Is it?
Is it? I don't think for a meal we spent over £35.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But is that because you get pickpocketed at every turn?
Look,
it's a bit dodgy.
It's like that anyway.
It is a bit dodgy. But the food, like, honestly, you got the best food that I had was the sort of, you know, when you see the tray baked pizzas.
Oh, yeah.
When you can just get the little lunch ones.
Yeah.
Those pizzas were the best.
I'm having pizza tonight.
Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm very excited. Yeah.
And then the little pasta places where you it's like Subway, but for pasta, where you go in, you choose your type of pasta, you choose your sauce, you choose your toppings. And then go in, and there's fresh pasta. Honestly,
are you sure you didn't just go to Subway?
And then the other place that I went to,
yeah,
great food. Not really Italian,
KFC.
But great food.
McDonald's.
It was called Bao Bao.
Bao Bao.
And it was little dumplings. But
you're
like,
a little dumpling. You're my little dumpling.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I think that was actually the best food that
really?
I had.
Okay.
So it was around the corner from where we were staying, and I was looking at all these, you know, a lot of these Italians. It's funny, when you look on Google reviews, all the ones near all the things are like one star, which I've never seen places with like thousands of reviews be like 1.4 stars or something like that.
That's bad.
And you know it's bad.
Yeah.
But all the places around us were like quite nice. And then this Bao Bao.
Yeah.
2,000 reviews.
Really?
Yeah. 4.9 out of 5. And I was like...
Has it got people queuing out the door?
It did, actually,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was like, I've got to go there. I've got to go. And then, yeah, we had the best meal.
Really?
It was so good. The one thing I will say about Rome, actually, I didn't see one interesting car, except for like the Cinquecentos, the tourist ones.
They're all smashed up, aren't they?
They're all smashed up, and there's just nothing interesting.
Is there no car culture there?
No, none at all.
That's actually not true. You see a lot of Mark 2.0s and they are nice. And they're thin on the ground.
The thing that I was amazed...
No.
the thing that I was amazed about, though, the Amis. I have never seen Amis? So many Amis.
Oh, wow, okay.
But they're all parked, you know, like how the smart cars park, where they park them in vertical into a parking space, and then they can just...
Are there lots of mopeds in Rome? Is it mainly mopeds?
It's cars, but there are, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of mopeds, but I think when you go to Vietnam,
yeah,
nothing compares to that. I just looked at it and goes, yeah, there's a few, okay. But it wasn't Vietnam.
Yeah, okay.
But still, really good place.
So no car meets?
No, I'd love to know if there is a car culture in Rome, because I don't think there is.
Okay. I think there is. I think there's like a lot of people have like old Fiat 500s and Cinquecentos and stuff like that.
But not like car culture.
No, not like they're modified just like cars. Yeah, they're just like the odd old car. I'm just thinking, can you imagine driving a Citroen Ami down a cobbled Italian street?
See, now that is, I think, why, because the road, I get they're like 2,000 years old, but they are terrible. Yeah. Like,
imagine the trim rattles.
Yeah.
Trim.
All of their taxis, they must just be absolutely beaten up. Like, I reckon they're getting their shock absorbers changed every few months. Yeah, like, it's amazing. But yeah, good holiday.
Good holiday.
Yeah.
Good holiday.
And I've got a dilemma, boys.
Oh.
Here we go. Is it a car lemma?
It is a car lemma.
Oh, okay.
So I've got my Mustang.
Yeah.
Basically, there was a bit of damage to it and the boot lid was peeling massively. So it needed respraying.
Yeah.
I sent it to the body shop. The body shop basically said to do a proper job, because I think when it got sprayed, someone did a really quick spray job on it, and it was just really like it doesn't look amazing. Mm. And they said if we did spray the top again to replace those bits that you've asked for, the side of the car and like the back and the end would look terrible. So they were like, we'll have to do a full respray.
We'll have to do it, yeah.
So then I was already like, okay. And then they started doing a bit more and they were like going, but all the panels are new and there doesn't seem to be any rust.
Okay.
So it wouldn't actually take that much longer to do a full respray colour change.
Ooh. Because it's not a colour at the moment.
Well, so the colour combination is really cool because it is a Hertz colour combination.
Get over it. Like, which do you really care?
I quite like the story.
The story is great, but it's not what my car is.
It's your car as
well. It's a replica. Mm. Like, so someone's just sprayed that afterwards, which I think it, don't get me wrong, if that was a Hertz colour, like an actual genuine Hertz car, no way would I be changing that colour. Yeah. But it's like a fake. It's like, it might as well have like RS3 badges on it.
All right, so question. What Land Rover colour are you going to respray it?
I'm thinking a BMW colour.
Are you?
Yeah. Oxford green.
Oh.
That would be quite cool.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah.
So Oxford green with either white stripes or like gunmetal grey stripes, which it will look quite similar to another colour, another famous Mustang colour combination.
Okay.
Which is bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm happy with that, because that is, it's just a cool looking colour combination, but your car's not trying to be something it's not.
Yeah.
Now, question, would you not rather do it British Racing Green Metallic, because it's a bit more green?
But the whole point with, I think you want a darker, more neutral colour if you're putting stripes on a car. Because you want to let the stripes do a lot of the talking. That's why the black and gold worked quite well.
What about the cream car, right, with the blue stripes? Oh,
see, I like that. Yeah. But then I did more research into that, and that is actually a GT whatever.
350, I think.
350.
Is that the Shelby, is it?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Something like
which
that.
My car's, again, not. So I don't really want it to be, because a lot of Mustangs are...
It's always going to be a replica, though, isn't
it? But a lot of Mustangs are like over-the-top replicas where they've got Shelby badges on, they've got all this stuff, when it's just like, that's not what it is. I just want something that would look nice.
Okay.
What you want to do is paint it your own colour combination and then call it the GTRE. The Mustang GT Rory Edition.
Mm. Nice. Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. I quite like that.
And then you'll have to tint the windows, make it a bit Birmingham spec as well.
Put some quilted leather in it.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Oh, that would be nice.
Some stars, headliners.
Oh, my word.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
4D up the plate.
Oh, okay. Nice. Formula One lamp. Yeah. Oh, chameleon windscreen.
Oh, yes. Underglow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I quite like it.
If your car has any of these things, then please feel free to switch off.
I quite like underglow.
I know.
I might put it on my daily.
Okay.
But I think it's more of a nostalgia thing from Need for Speed, isn't it, really?
It's because you're so old. Anyway, Rory, anything else you've been up to? Are you going to get it resprayed?
I'm going to get it resprayed.
Green. Yeah. Fantastic.
You have been up to some other stuff. How's your Mini, Rory?
Oh,
we just took the Mini out for its first drive. Yeah, yeah.
Maiden voyage after what rebuild number? I lose count.
I don't
know. 4.5 million.
Yeah, okay.
So I've got 1,000 miles to do in that because it's a new built engine.
Yep.
So I'm going to do that off camera because I can't go over 3,000 RPM and it's a bit boring.
No, we would like you to live stream that 1,000 miles.
Okay.
Everyone wants to see. Everyone just wants to share that seat with you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, luckily for me, anyway, my commute is about 1,000 miles a week, so that's quite easy. I'll just commute in it for a week.
Because he lives in Middle Earth.
He does. I do. Very far away.
But then we can get it tuned. We can take both our Minis back up to 1320 because you need to get yours redone with the new supercharger.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can then do the final part of the episode.
Fantastic.
And then finally be done with that piece of shit.
Thank you very much. Oh, I've been waiting for you to say that for so long.
Dear.
So you're excited. So you're going to be in that car.
Yeah. Hopefully I'm driving it home tonight.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And we'll see how it goes.
I'll wait for the phone call.
Yeah, just be on standby, Tay. Okay.
And do what? To laugh?
No, to come pick me up with a trailer.
Can you live stream that if you break down? That'd be good.
I've not got my Jeff with me.
Oh, that's true.
It's all right. You can take mine.
No, the brakes are binding gone. On that.
Yeah.
You're so shit with cars. It's actually unbelievable.
That's actually Pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah. Actually, I'm quite good with cars.
Are you?
Yeah, my cars are in
well,
good.
Well, no channel cars you know, are ever in good
Taylor's
condition.
Really good with cars. He's really good at opening doors on cars as well.
Opening doors.
Is there a story?
Mm.
What story is this?
Opening doors. Is this to do with the chime?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, okay. Did he open the door on like an engine or something?
In fairness, before you start, wasn't technically my fault, but I do feel bad about it and I will pay for damages.
Oh, is
but it
is
wasn't
your
actually
scratched?
My fault.
Scratched?
Oh.
So Rory's Triumph.
Which door is it?
The driver's door.
Right, hold on. So, you carry on.
No. Just to explain.
Alex is wandering off to go inspect it.
Oh my word. It's not in here. Oh yeah, it is.
Oh my God.
It's not great.
It's not good.
Do you want to hear how that happened? It's coming back.
That's quite bad, isn't it?
Do you know how that happened?
It looks like you've opened the door and like the wing panel was loose and it's scratched against it.
So Rory's Triumph is so shit.
Yeah, it's all out of shape.
It was parked nose up on the ramp.
Oh!
And I think it's flexed slightly and the door has gone a bit close to the wing. And as I've opened the door, it caught the bonnet.
Oh, so that is your fault, Rory.
Oh, stop my...
You bought a floppy car,
it's
man.
Not floppy, that's it's how, flexible.
That's how floppy. He's parked it half on the ramp. If you park that car up on a curb, I think the windscreen would smash. Are you shitting?
It probably would, yeah. No, I'm not shitting.
I thought you were guffing.
No, I'm not.
Do you know, we went up north yesterday to Bradford. And he guffed the whole way up. And every time he guffed, he would shut the windows.
You did not.
And he wouldn't. And I was breathing in his guff.
No, the windows were already shut.
And I would have the courtesy, when I guff, I lift. Right?
He lifts.
As I'm driving along, I lift.
Squeezes his arse out.
You can hear it. Evacuate it out the window. Done.
Yeah, but I guff. He closes. He opens the windows and then it's done. It's gone.
No, but he guffs silently against the lever. So it absorbs into
the
lever.
It's my car.
And he doesn't tell me. So I'm gulping in all of his guff.
Look. Most of the time, right, at my age, I do it and I don't know what's happening.
I know,
all right, it just pops out.
Baggy arse.
Baggy arse, yeah.
It's just like.
Yeah, okay. It's like throwing a sausage down a wind tunnel.
Are you two done?
Yeah, your Triumph's a write off.
Yeah, it's a write off. But yeah, so there's a bit of damage. We'll need to see if we can.
A bit?
There is quite a bit of damage, yeah. It's
you need to get one of those touch-up pens.
So the leading edge, what's happened? Yeah, the leading edge of the door is. Contacted the wing
it and hasn't now contacted. It's smashed.
It's completely scratched and chipped. Removed the whole paint off the front bit. Yeah.
So what are you going to do if you like drive that car and you park it on a hill and you've got to get out of it? Because you'll open the door and it will chip all against
everything.
I'll just
open it very carefully.
Or if you reverse it up like a curb or something, you'll open the door and it will chip the rear quarter.
I'll open it
carefully.
Well,
not being funny, but as soon as he gets in it and he tries to open or shut the door, it's gonna bend the chassis a little bit.
Really? Okay. Yeah, especially with that in it.
Right, Rory, is that you out?
Well, there is one thing that we have been up to.
Oh.
Wait.
We haven't done a podcast since.
Yeah. I'm going to think. Hang on.
Scotland.
Oh, hello, Scotland.
Yeah. So this is a joint what we've been up to.
Yeah.
Overall, great trip.
Great trip. Very
really
good.
Really good trip.
Cold?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it was cold.
Oh, my God, yeah. It First was... night of camping was very unpleasant. So you guys, what day is it? We'll have seen that episode on Thursday. I've actually gone, today is Thursday. I went through that edit today.
Yeah.
And yeah, we did a lot. We went to the Grampian Museum as well, which is where the Top Gear cars are in Scotland. We did two nights of camping, one night of camping in an Airbnb. That was arduous.
A very light dusting of breaking down.
Yeah.
Failed at off-roading again.
Yeah, you two failed at off-roading. No, I dominated.
We collectively failed at off-roading.
No, I got further.
I will admit I partially failed at off-roading.
Yeah.
Got a bit stuck. But I did drive up a hill afterwards that he couldn't get up.
That's true.
And I drove past him. But annoyingly, it wasn't on camera.
No, it wasn't. No. So
we'll never know.
No, we'll never know. Yeah.
We'll never
and
know.
Speaking of as well, one of those cars, Large Larry, is no longer with us. Large Larry is at LLF Games and it is currently being raffled. So.
Do you know, it was quite sad actually to see that car go.
Oh, it's really sad.
So we left. Were you with us for LLF? So we went to LLF, right? We did all the things, did a bit of promo, and then we left. And as we were backing out, I was like, it feels like I'm leaving like my dog at the vet. And I'm just never going to see my dog again.
I don't think we really wanted to actually give that car
away. No, that
away.
Was not the giveaway car.
No, it was meant to be the Discovery.
Because your car was so shit, and your car was so shit, you forced my hand.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to owe me a Land Cruiser. But Large Larry was fantastic. And
we've done a lot in Large Larry as
well.
We have
many, many thousands of miles. Yeah, he's great.
It's a really good car. It's amazing how we keep all of the shit, i.e. that.
Yeah.
I've just pointed at our Discovery 4 that's behind us, and the body is separated from the chassis.
Yeah.
Do you know who's the most sad about Large Larry going now?
M
at events.
Oh, yeah. She loves Large Larry.
She does.
Yeah. Large Larry was the backbone of like shipping stuff to events and towing and.
But you do know what we do have that I think we realistically love more than Large Larry that we're
Big
hopefully going to get back soon.
What?
Dell.
Dell.
Oh, yeah, I messaged Rich's Fabrication yesterday saying I'm going to get Jamie to collect him. Because I want Dell back.
Oh, dear.
I feel bad Dell being outside in the rain and stuff like that.
So. I love Dell.
Yeah, Del's, I do miss Dell.
Dell is just—he's just always there.
He is always there. Well, he's not there at the moment, but he's there.
No, but like I remember at Shedfest, the last one, me and Rory unloaded loads of merch out of Dell, and then we drove up the road. And I remember you sat in the back, and you were like, "Oh, I do like Dell." And we were just revving up the road. We weren't going anywhere whatsoever, but we were in Dell.
We were.
It's such a funny vehicle.
Good old
Dell. So
right, anyway, moving on. Taylor, have you got something to announce
for
the good people of the Autolix podcast?
I have, yeah.
Go on.
I'm very pleased to announce.
Okay.
I've bought my dream car.
Oh!
I've bought my dream
car. Oh, yes, you have.
Car.
Oh!
It still sort of hasn't really sunk in. I keep thinking about it. Do you know when I think it'll sink in?
Yeah.
Is when I've driven it.
Yeah.
I haven't driven it yet. Obviously it's a bit broken.
It's quite broken at the moment.
But it wouldn't be mine if it weren't broken.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
So I have bought a 2000 Porsche 911 Turbo manual coupe.
Oh, so this is the 996 Turbo.
Yeah.
With well over 400 horsepower.
It's got 550. Well over 500.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. 500. Yeah.
Because it's been slightly zhuzhed.
It has.
It is a factory manual.
Yeah.
It's four-wheel drive. It's blue in colour.
Yeah.
It's a really, really... It's got a sunroof.
It does.
It's been
there
for ages on a sunroof. Nice. Now, I have, as you guys know, I've never been... Like, 996 has not been at the top of my list as 911. It's probably been more towards the bottom, actually.
Yeah.
But I think I said this to you the other day. I can't remember. I would have one if it was a turbo, but they're a lot of money. They're expensive now. They're really appreciating. They're getting expensive.
Yep.
But, you know, we got offered one by a really nice guy called Alex while we were on the Scotland trip. And he said, look, I've had it for a while. It's a bit broken. It needs some love. Do you want to buy it? And yeah, my eyebrows were up here as soon as I laid eyes on it. And we went and bought it on Monday.
Yeah, Monday of this week, actually.
Yeah.
He's not far from us. So we took a trailer, collected it.
Yeah.
And also bought a few other little bits.
We did, yeah. We bought some wheels for your 911.
Yeah.
And some
centre lock wheels. Have you seen those, Rory?
I haven't seen
them. I have centre lock wheels now for my GT3 replica build.
They're cup wheels.
Are you going to have to get centre lock hubs then? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be an expensive build, but it's fine. It'll be yellow. I just want it to be yellow. Also, GT3 brake calipers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm.
I will say, when you look at yours now compared to the turbo.
Yeah.
God, it's amazing how much better the turbo looks.
Mine is still in a very, very sorry state.
No, but I mean just a standard 911.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like a wide body with the wing.
Yeah, a standard 996 does look so
small,
much worse than
dated and a bit shit. Just a bit boggo spec.
The turbo looks like so much more, especially those air intakes on the rear of the arch.
Yeah, so good.
Like I never, the 996 for me has always been like a bit of an SE, like SE BMW where it's missing its chin and it just needs a bit of zhuzh.
Yeah,
and then but like you look at a GT3 or something, they look amazing. Yeah. 996, they look so cool. And I looked, do you remember I was on about buying Jay's Carrera 4?
Yes.
Because I like that look. And I think one of my favourite bits is the back. And you know you've got those slats behind the rear wheel in the bumper.
Yeah.
I think they're so cool. And they just look really, really cool as a wide body. They just look nice. Yeah. So
you guys will have seen, if you follow the V2 channel, you will have seen that episode yesterday on the V2 channel, Taylor buying his dream car.
Yeah, and I'm really excited. I'm a bit nervous about it.
You should be.
I've not heard it run at all.
No.
And the engine could be blown up. Now, you don't actually know this, Rory. I've done a bit of research. So to buy a second-hand used engine off eBay for that car.
Have a guess.
£12,000.
£12,000.
To get modern and classic engine services to rebuild the engine, it's between £8,000 to £12,000.
Ah, yeah.
And yeah, it's just really expensive.
Yeah, really expensive.
So I'm hoping that we can fix it by changing the oil cooler and a few bits. Yep. I'm really, really hoping that's the case.
Yep.
If not, I need to sell some bits. So,
yeah.
Did you start it up? Or is it not? No. Should you not even start it up?
No, it's in bits. He took it apart. He took the throttle body.
I don't think there's any oil in the engine either.
No, and the intercoolers are off, so we can't actually start it up at all. But so I don't even know if it turns over.
But you do have your dream Porsche.
I do.
Fantastic.
Most of a dream Porsche.
Most of it. Yeah.
But no, I'm so excited. I just hope that I could get it running fairly soon.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, not have it perfect, but use it a little bit while the weather's nice and then get it perfect for next year.
Absolutely. So that was Monday.
That was Monday.
Would you like to tell everyone what we got up to on Tuesday?
Tuesday. We drove.
It's been a great week.
It has been. Yeah. It's been quite hectic, actually.
It's been very busy. Yeah.
Tuesday, we drove large lorries into central London.
My 1945 Bedford O-type lorry.
Yeah. And that was
completely untested.
Yeah, completely untested. First time we'd ever driven it. Obviously, we gave it a good check over and everything before we went. We checked all the levels and the pressures and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, what an experience.
It was great.
What an experience. It's the gearbox is interesting. The steering, it's the only way to describe the steering. Imagine if you were to drive one of Robbie's boats.
Okay.
Sort of go like this and you sort of waft it in a general direction.
Yeah. So you sort of have to predict where you're going to go and in about 4 minutes.
Oh, you have
time to
think ahead. Yeah. Okay. Oh, you have to think ahead.
Imagine you're turning off a slip road, right? You're doing 30 miles an hour. You sort of go like this.
Yeah.
You shuffle it.
I wanted to ask this. What top speed did you get it up to?
We got it up to...
Here we go.
41 miles an hour.
No. 41. Yeah.
But 41? It was the M4.
It was a bit unhappy, so we had to ease off.
Yeah, it was popping and spluttering and everything.
It blew the airbox off.
It did do that,
So we had to ease it down to 37.
Yeah.
It's his happy speed.
Yeah.
So we drove up the M4 at 37.
Yes, which is legal.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I checked, triple checked, and we had the camera car behind us with the hazards on.
Yeah, we did have an escort vehicle. Yeah.
It wasn't actually as scary as I thought.
It wasn't as scary as I thought. No,
but the M4
nice.
Is quite, especially the M4 from Reading to London, is a slow moving motorway.
Yeah, and it was kind of in the middle of the day as well, there wasn't a lot much traffic.
I actually think the thing that made that drive pleasurable was the weather.
Yeah,
I think if it was raining nice or dark, it would have been catastrophic. But we did have a bit of an issue. Mm. We pulled into a services on the M4 on the way into London, and quite a lot of oil fell out.
There was a bit of an oil leak.
Yeah, but we did manage to fix it, didn't we?
Yeah, completely fixed.
Because you know why? They don't make them like they used to. If that was a modern car, it would be on a recovery truck, straight to the main agent. You wouldn't see it for a month.
We had to do.
It also would be going faster than 41 miles.
Yeah, but it's not about the speed. Roy, it's about getting there.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, did we get there? And
all
you know
we
what?
Had to do, right, was nip up. What was it, about 50 or 60 bolts?
Yeah, we got the toolkit out. We nipped everything up.
And it was fine. Good
to
go.
The whole sump came loose.
All right, another question.
Yeah.
How long did it take you then to go from Reading to London?
I think
it's about an hour and a half.
It was about an hour and a half. Yeah, an hour and a half to 2 hours.
We did stop.
Okay.
Yeah. So it we probably only added another 45 minutes onto the journey.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, like when you're on Waze or on Google Maps and it says 12 minutes, and then you look at Waze or Google Maps and it still says 12 minutes.
It did.
We are going quite slowly. Yeah. But we made it there. Did we make it back? you'll find out next week on the main channel.
I'm really looking forward to actually watching this.
Yeah. And do you know what as well? Like, we were sat in traffic for ages. He didn't overheat.
No.
He kept really good. It didn't use that much fuel.
No.
It was very really
economical. The perfect daily driver.
The perfect daily driver.
Perfect, yeah.
It's brilliant.
ULEZ exempt, MOT exempt, tax exempt.
Do you know what we didn't tell Rory as well, which was quite funny? So when we got large lorry out of storage, we had a bit of an incident. So we went down to the storage unit with Betty, and we put Betty in the storage unit. And we went down with a key box, right? We started large lorry up. Mm-hmm. We got in large lorry. And imagine, right, you're sat in there. There's no space for the key box.
No.
None. You can't put it down the middle. There's no. It's quite a big, you know, we've got a big key box.
That vehicle is less practical than a Mark 1 Mazda MX-5.
Yeah. So,
because we're legally not allowed to put anything on the bed.
Yeah. So I've driven large lorry out of the storage unit with Alex in the passenger seat with the key box on his lap.
And it's big. Like, I am pressed against the dashboard.
Yeah. I'm trying to get it in gear. I keep clouting the key box with my hand. It's quite sharp corners of it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Driving up the road, trundling along as we do, you know, we're quite happy.
27 miles an hour,
all of a sudden, we break down.
Oh, bloody hell. What's driving going
along,
on here?
Driving along, I'm throttling. It's going, come to a complete stop. I had to bump it up on the curb.
Traffic behind us as well.
We broke down. I was like, Alex, we've broken down. What do we do? I said, I think we've run out of petrol.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It sounded like we ran out of petrol.
And there's me thinking, shit, tomorrow we're supposed to be driving this into London. And, it's already proving unreliable.
And it was getting quite late and we didn't know what to do. And we didn't know who could come and tow us or whatever. And we were stuck. And we were thinking, I don't know what to do.
I am not pushing this.
I went to restart it. He'd only knocked the ignition key with the key box.
I switched it off, yeah.
He's gone round, right? He's moved the key box and he's clouted the ignition key and switched it off while I'm driving.
I did do that, yeah. Sorry.
Silly bum.
Sorry.
But, what are you like?
That was the only problem of that day.
It was quite funny.
It was quite funny, yeah. What an experience. I never thought that we would drive a 1945 lorry into London and the looks we were getting.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. What a talking point.
We had people coming up to us and saying hello. And do you know, there was a guy in a petrol station and he came up to me and he said, thank you. And I said, what do you mean? He said, thank you for keeping that on the road.
Oh,
it's
excellent.
Really
yeah.
nice to see.
Did you say, oh, yeah, we've been looking after this. Full restoration, mate.
He was like, it's lovely to see a vehicle of that age in that condition on the road. You know, you just don't, like, it's nice to see people loving and cherishing them. And I actually believe it's impossible to drive that vehicle without smiling.
No, exactly.
It's so
exactly.
Fun.
Yeah. It's proper workout as well.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it is. Yeah.
So that was Tuesday.
And then yesterday, as we're filming this, because we're filming this podcast on Thursday. Yeah.
Well, I can take over.
Yesterday, what did we do? We guffed our way up north.
We guffed our way up north because I got another Instagram message from a man in a town called Bradford.
Okay.
And what do we know about Bradford?
Don't buy a car from Bradford.
Yes. Okay. And what did we do?
You bought a car.
We drove to Bradford and ended up buying.
Now, stereotypically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bradford is the home of like the RS.
Yeah.
Yeah. RS3.
I would probably say it's the home of the sort of quite dodgy RS as well.
And the Golf R's.
So you bought
an RS4.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. But it's okay because when we got there, the engine was hot, even though I said, please make sure it's stone cold. It's been crashed. Smells of cigarettes in there.
Stinks. I actually drove it the whole way back, the window open.
But the guys were nice.
They
offered us dinner as well, which is a big plus in my book.
They were nice. It was very hectic because I felt like they were all trying to tell us about the car at once.
At the same time.
Yeah. And I was like, I didn't know who to listen to. And I was like, oh my God. But it was, it was quite an experience.
It was an experience.
And I do believe there was a moment where for the first time ever, we'd driven that far to go and see a car and we were both about to walk away.
Yes. Yes.
And it was only because we did manage to knock a little bit off, just because it was really not as described, let's be honest, with a few issues.
There's quite a few issues with it, yeah.
We were like, I don't think we should leave this.
There came a point where I was like, it's not worth it. Literally, this is going to be a headache.
And then you said, look, can you just, even just £200?
A couple of hundred quid, because there was no fuel in it as well.
Yeah.
I was like, just a couple of hundred quid, that gets me two tanks.
And one of the tyres had 4 PSI in it.
It was bad.
4?
Yeah.
But what an experience.
Yeah, of course we bought it. Yeah.
And I drove it back last night. It's got a lot of issues. The brakes are probably the most juddery brakes
I've
ever experienced in my entire life. Rory, I'd actually like you to experience these brakes. They're quite something.
Oh, yeah, the king of warp brakes.
Yeah.
They are so bad.
Oh, speaking of which, Jack has got warp brakes again.
Oh, brilliant. The brakes on this Audi RS4 are so bad that when you brake at motorway speeds, the headlights shake. That's how bad it is.
Oh, well, you can only see one headlight because the other one's blown.
Yeah. And it was so smelly of cigarettes that I drove the whole way back with the window open.
I did notice that. Yeah, I did notice that.
But I drove it back carefully, and about 5 miles up the road, you get to the country laney bit.
Yeah.
I give it a little bit of zhuzh.
Yeah.
There is a point in my time in the future I need to own one of those cars.
Yeah. So we took it out for a test drive, and it is very fast.
It is fast.
Obscenely fast.
Oh, it's fast.
Yeah.
But it's not even that. For me, it's the gear change. You can rev match it. Yeah. The steering feels sharp and direct. I like the way the interior feels. I like the seating position. As a car, amazing.
Oh, it also doesn't come with a wing back. So someone previously has nicked the actual RS4 seats and just put standard A4 seats in.
Yeah.
So if anyone is selling a pair of RS4 seats, please hit me up in the DMs, or you can email at
podcast@autolexcars.com.
Well, how many holidays has it been?
Three holidays. Yeah, we'll let him off.
Well, also, how did it go when you started it this morning, Taylor?
It's fine. No chain rattle.
No chain rattle. That's good.
Yeah. Anything else?
Nothing. No? I didn't see anything.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't see anything because there was so much smoke coming out the back of it. It was hard to see.
Hey, man, without smoke, there's no fire.
Do you know what?
And I'm about to fire you.
Hey! Do you know what? You should sell that car.
I should sell it, yeah.
You should sell it.
Well, it's a 12 grand car, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll do your deal, 15.
No, I've got a Porsche to restore.
You do have a Porsche.
I've got a Porsche to restore.
So yeah, did that. I've got an RS4, very excited about that. On the weekend as well, I took my Betty out. With my wife, Rianne, and my daughter, Brenda Amelia, aka Amelia. And we just went to a National Trust place quite locally from here, about a 45-minute drive. I put the baby seat in because I got the guys to actually like weld in some what they called those
ISOFIX
hooks. So that's very exciting, and we had a very nice day out.
Betty was good.
Betty was fantastic.
See, I thought when you said you were going to take Betty, I thought you were going to do an overnight thing in Betty.
Sleeping in a van in a confined space with my daughter, just no. Because sleeping in a house with my daughter, just no. So at the moment, my wake up time and Rianne's wake up time is 5:30. We are awake at 5:30 every morning.
See, that seems early.
No, it doesn't seem early. It is bloody early.
I don't know why you'd get up that early.
Yeah, well, when you've got a little creature in the next room screaming, "Mummy and Daddy," you just can't help.
Just ask
well,
her to have a all right,
I'm not going
to
stay at your house again then.
No, you're usually in the bed screaming, "Mummy and Daddy."
I was wondering where that was going.
So anyway, did that in Betty. It was really nice. Oh, Amelia came to the unit as well, and she was walking around. She loved being
really?
In here. Yeah.
Really?
She was touching all of the engine parts, all the oily bits, because this place has been a write-off, hasn't it?
It has,
while.
Yeah.
But I took her around, showed her all the cars in the paddock as well. She was in awe.
Aww.
And then on the way back as well, there are a couple of young girls with the horses. And we went and patted the horses as well.
Aww.
Horses are usually shit.
They're shit cows, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was nice. Amelia liked it. We patted their heads and then buggered off.
Mm.
Yeah, they've got a weird smell as well, horses.
Yeah, well, they don't wash usually, do they?
No,
they need to TFR and jet wash them.
They do, yeah. They're more kind of bath animals, aren't they? They don't shower.
No, yeah, they're dirty kids.
Anyway, that was nice. And on Monday, I'm going to the SL shop in Stratford, where I'm taking my SL 560. And we're going to have a proper look over that car. And then I'm going to get some parts because we are launching our new series, aren't we?
Yes.
Yes. So,
just after the classic car series.
Indeed.
Which is starting from...
Now.
We're filming it now.
Yeah.
And it will go out after the large lorry.
Don't say large lorry. He's not with us anymore.
No. Also, I have been working on my M5.
Oh, you have, haven't you?
I might actually bring that in tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have done the interior. Is Ooh. Now cinema on.
Okay.
And it looks...
Oh, can you finally reveal the colour?
Yeah, I can.
It's cinnamon.
Okay.
Yeah.
It looks absolutely amazing. I've fully restored it. I've put a new exhaust on it.
Fantastic.
And it sounds incredible. I've also tuned it and put a new intake on it as well.
Ooh.
And it's...
Is it spectacularly fast?
Oh, so good.
Is it Porsche 996 turbo fast? do we think?
I should hope so. It's got 550 brake horsepower.
But do you
now.
Think the turbo will be faster?
I don't know.
Or do you think Jeff will be faster?
They're delivered. I don't know. the power delivery is in different ways, and they're different sizes and weights. So I don't know.
How nuts is that that you now own? Wait, how much horsepower has the 540i got?
440.
Oh, okay. So you own three 500 horsepower plus cars.
Out of four cars, you have 2,000 horsepower.
I do, yeah. Mm. But for me, I want more. At some point, I want to own a 1,000 horsepower car.
Oh, piss off.
I do.
Why? What are you going to do with that? Just to say you have it?
But I would like something with four-wheel drive. But
Tesla.
I want a 1,000 horsepower. No,
to get Tesla. Yeah, exactly.
No, I want petrol.
You could do that for like 10 grand, can't you? Yeah, yeah.
But also, the 911, I want 600 horsepower.
Okay. We'll get to that. So there's going to be a full V2 series on that, a full V2 series on the RS4, getting that back to good spec. Then we've got the Living with a Lorry episode next week. We've got the classic cars coming. We've got so much
stuff.
We have got so much stuff. Right, before we continue with the podcast, we've got to give a massive shout out to this week's sponsor, Car Vertical. We use Car Vertical literally, I would say week in, week out, but it is day in, day out.
Literally.
It is literally all the time. Mm. This week alone, it's been about three or four times.
Yeah.
We checked your Porsche.
Yeah.
We checked my Audi RS4. We knew it was already crashed because he was honest about that, thankfully. Yeah. If you're in the market for a new car, van, or motorbike, leave no car unchecked. Always run a Car Vertical report. We swear by Car Vertical, don't we?
Yeah.
And just to give you a little idea of my Audi RS4, right? Yeah. Damage, amber. But we knew that. That's all right.
Yeah.
We have got quite a nice mileage graph, and it will actually tell us 140,000 miles. We found one record for this vehicle in 2018, Category S structural damage. Mm. Now, Taylor, if this was in 2018, as it says here, a Cat S for that car, it might not actually be that bad.
No, so it could actually be something quite small, like a bit of door and rear quarter damage or a little bit of pillar damage or something like that. It doesn't always have to be a horrendous amount of damage. I mean, we've actually seen it before with my Touareg, for example. The other one I had, it got written off for that bit around the rear light and a bit of rear bumper.
Exactly right.
So, yeah, and luckily, when we were looking around the car, I did actually manage to find where that car was damaged.
But you guys will have to wait for that. Mm. You will have to be very patient. Car Vertical also tells you like identification numbers, technical specs. So we know it's a 4.2 litre, 414 horsepower from factory, but we know it's been a bit zhuzhed up, 450 brake. Mm. It is fast. Manual all-wheel drive. And then you also get like all the ownership details. So eight owners found, like when the first owner was, when the last owner was, and then a whole timeline of your vehicle. So manufactured, first registered, if it was ever exported as well. Mm-hmm. There is so much that you can get from Car Vertical. So leave no car unchecked. Always run a Car Vertical report. What's more, Car Vertical doesn't only work in the UK. It works in most of Europe, America, Australia. And if you use my code, AlexCast, you will get 20% off your Car Vertical report. And if you front load your reports now, buy lots of them now, you will get up to 50% off. Every day we are running a new Car Vertical report.
Do you know who else has done a lot of Car Vertical reports recently?
Who's that? Mm-hmm.
Top Dead Center.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you saw the Golf that they were buying for Ben. Like, they didn't show it as much. Like, the effort that they had to go to find a clean one of them.
Yeah.
They ran, I think it was seven reports, and six of them came back as categorized.
Yeah.
Four of them weren't even mentioned in the ads.
I've actually had loads of messages from people as well, just randomly on Instagram, saying, I ran a Car Vertical report. The car should have been clean. I found it was crashed. Thank you for, like, saving me from a shit car.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Because it is so easy to hide damage and stuff like that, so... Yeah, one report can save you a lot of money.
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks Car Vertical for sponsoring the podcast as ever. Anyway, let's move it on now to an email at...
podcast@autoalexcars.com.
Better.
Still a bit of a delay.
Yeah, no, he's still in holiday mode, isn't he? So Tom has emailed in and he's written, shout out to the car community. So here's a little like feel-good email from Tom. Hi fellas, thought you might enjoy this one for the podcast, a proper car community wins moment. The other day I spotted a Land Rover Defender parked outside my apartment with the bonnet up and its owner looking a bit defeated. My first thought was, Auto Alex should buy this and fix it. Seeing as it's a Defender and knowing how many times we know that JLR products break down, I figured the poor guy was probably well and truly fed up with it. I went down to see if he needed a hand dodging the contents of his fuel tank across the car park floor. We had a chat, helped him out as much as I could, and because he'd been stuck there for a while, I even let him use my bathroom. I didn't think much more of it, just one of those things you do for a fellow car person, but the very next day, I came home to find a thank you card, a bottle of wine, and a treat for my dog.
Oh.
This really summed up the best side of car culture, strangers helping strangers, and people actually appreciating it, giving further proof that even when the cars let us down, the community, you guys, don't. Keep up the great work with the podcast. Cheers, Tom.
There's no way a Land Rover would have its bonnet open.
No.
I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah.
Ignore the Land Rover that's got its bonnet open, yeah, literally just there.
Rory, you broke down in your Defender 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Ran out of fuel.
You ran out of diesel?
Yeah, ran out of diesel.
How? Is your gauge not working?
What?
Is your gauge working?
What?
Your gauge is working and you still ran out of diesel.
My headphones have stopped working.
Yeah.
Just like my gauge did.
How's your Range Rover?
Lovely, yeah.
Why is there a pallet outside the unit with an engine
on it? I decided to go for the double engine Range Rover. I wanted the, like, you know, one in the back, one in the front.
Nice.
Yeah.
Standard for you, isn't it? What?
Oh, I've got heartburn. Going back to this, right, this story, I feel like this used to be a really common thing where someone would break down and someone would stop to lend them a hand.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if someone was changing tyres, someone would stop and say, do you need a hand?
Yeah.
Nobody does it anymore.
That's true. No, it also makes you feel so good helping people as well.
Mm.
I remember a few years ago when I was driving up to the Midlands, I think, with Rhianne, there was loads of traffic on the M40. And, you know, like people like switch off, but they still have the ignition on.
Yeah.
There were so many people that had like run their batteries down.
Mm.
And then I got out and I pushed their cars onto the hard shoulder when we were about to move. And I got my knocko out, or whatever it was at the time. And I like started their cars up.
Do you know what? We actually had it yesterday, didn't we? Because
just to interrupt.
Yeah.
Josh.
Hello.
Oh, it's Juicy.
Speaking of broken Land Rovers. Josh, you've been working on our lovely new crew car and you've enjoyed it a lot, haven't you?
Yes, it's been so much fun.
That sounds like sarcasm.
That does sound like sarcasm, yeah. So Juicy's been here. We've got our Discovery 4. It's needed body off, engine swapping over and putting new engine back in. And Josh, you've left this in a right state.
It's a shithole, Josh.
Honestly, what have you done?
It just is a few little bits.
Is Juicy back tomorrow to finish the job?
This is what I think Juicy's about to tell us.
All right, go on, Juicy.
Yes, this is why I was calling. I was saying I'll be back tomorrow.
Hey! Too right you need to be, and you get back here today.
So that's our Land Rover Discovery 4 crew car.
Yes.
Right, thank you, Juicy.
Thanks, Juicy.
Bye.
See you tomorrow.
Bye. See you tomorrow. There's Juicy. He's been hard at it.
He has. To be fair, I would not want to do this job.
Oh, God, no.
I don't think even Taylor wanted to do this job.
I don't want to do it. I'm bloody done with Land Rovers.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to it, we had it yesterday where we bought the RS4. You don't actually know this, Rory. We bought the RS4, pulled into a petrol station to fill it up with fuel because it had 0 miles of range.
Yeah.
Switched it off, filled it up with petrol, got in it. Nun. It didn't start.
No, it didn't start.
It had a flat battery. The battery was so knackered that it just wouldn't start. So there was a guy that came in the petrol station, he's queuing behind us.
Yeah.
And you went up to him and went, "Yeah, do you mind giving us a hand?" And he gives us a push.
Yeah, I was like, I actually pointed a camera in his face and I said, "Are you feeling strong?" And he was like, "Yeah." Because he actually rocked up and he was like, "Hey, car throttle." And I was like, "Oh yeah, I've moved on from that a little bit."
He likes the new stuff, obviously.
Oh yeah, big fan.
But yeah, I feel like it was a thing back in the day a lot where people used to have, if you were broken down, because especially before phones came along.
Yeah.
Because if you broke down and you didn't have a phone, imagine breaking down now, you haven't got a phone.
Yeah.
What on earth would you do?
Well, you got those SOS calls.
Yeah, but imagine if you're not near one.
Yeah.
You realistically, back in the day, relied on the next person.
You just do what everyone does in London.
What?
Just rob one.
Just nick another one. Yeah.
But yeah, you rely on someone stopping to give you a hand or ask if you need a help or but you don't get that anymore.
No, you don't.
You just don't.
Oh, sorry, I've got to go back to the car throttle shout out moment.
Oh yeah, go on.
Do you remember what happened in Scotland on the way up when we stopped at the Burger King?
Oh, how are you bringing that up?
Wait, I don't remember this.
So Rory went and paid for our Burger King food, and then the guy behind the till was like, "Ah, car throttle," And then Rory's like, yeah, he was like, Ethan, yeah, love your stuff. And Rory was like,
well, I didn't say, I said no to Carfrottle. And then he was going, Ethan, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then I said no. And then he was like, Yeah. I know. And then he was acting as if I was just like trying to trick him. I was like, no, I'm not Ethan.
You're that much of a celebrity. You want to keep it on the DL, don't you?
Oh, yeah. My word.
Yeah. Oh, funny. Oh, so many stories.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, we've got another email now from Ross Thomas. Stick or twist? Taylor, you'll like this one, I think.
Well, I like sticking and twisting.
Hi, Alex, Taylor and Rory. Love the pod. Long-time listener and subscriber. Got a stick or twist for you. I currently daily drive a BMW E46 M3 SMG on 107,000 miles. It's brilliant, dramatic, and makes every day feel like an event. But every new noise also feels like my bank account bracing for impact.
You'll get that.
I am tempted, wait for it,
I can see
to
it.
Twist to a 2019 Mustang GT. Monthly costs would be roughly the same, so this is less about money and more about sanity. The M3 is obviously iconic. It feels special, sounds amazing, and drives like nothing modern. The problem is the constant low-level anxiety that something expensive is always just around the corner, especially with the SMG and general old car upkeep. The Mustang feels like the sensible idiot's choice. Newer, comfier, probably more reliable, still a big naturally aspirated V8 and easier to live with day to day. But it's heavier, less delicate, and I worry I'd miss the magic and character of the BMW once the novelty wears off. So the question to you is, do I stick with a legendary but slightly terrifying M3 and accept the looming maintenance doom, or twist to the Mustang, gain reliability and comfort, and sacrifice a bit of soul in exchange for better sleep? Keep up the great work. Cheers, Ross Newcastle.
Do you know what?
Where are we thinking, lads?
As much as I absolutely adore an E46 M3, I don't feel like a daily one.
No.
Yeah, difficult.
But also I would not get rid of it for a Mustang.
Yeah. So I have been in a fortunate position where I have actually daily driven a Mustang for a few months.
Mm.
It's very special for a short time, and then reality does sink in, and it is a very big car, and you can't see a lot, and you can't see curbs, and it doesn't feel particularly delicate.
Is this a delicate way of you saying that you curbed it and crashed it?
No comment, officer. I may have brushed a wheel.
Brushed
at
a
some
wheel.
Point. But I live in London, man. Leave me alone. It's very fast and entertaining in the front in a straight line. My one had line lock as well, which is quite amusing.
Did only you use it?
Of course I did. Of course I used it. It's got line lock. I'm not going to. But as a petrol head, it doesn't really resonate with me. And gotta talk carefully here, and like, tread carefully. If you have a look at the type of like person who buys a Mustang, it's not. I wouldn't really call them a petrol head. A new Mustang. We all know you're not a real petrol head.
Oh, get lost.
He's in it for the money and the holidays and the fame.
Are you saying,
isn't that right, Ethan?
Are you saying the sort of person that buys a Mustang is a poser?
And I would say an older gentleman poser. Yeah, but it's not for someone who enjoys driving and who enjoys, you know, just feeling that connected to a car. It's
a bit numb.
It's a bit numb.
I will say he's got the right idea, wrong car.
Mm.
I think that M3 could be due quite a lot of maintenance.
Yes.
But the maintenance bills are not just, like, they are literally the cost of the car sometime on those M3s.
Yeah, but then how much is a Mustang?
I don't actually know how much a Mustang.
I don't know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, is he talking about the fact that he wants to just sell something and get another V8 something, but maybe something a bit more
premium?
Yeah, like you know, even just like a C63 or something like that.
I was just about to say a C63. Do you know what? Buy a C63. Oh no, because they suffer with head lift.
Why don't you buy a stolen, categorised, smoking RS4?
The RS4 is not stolen, it's just categorised and smoking.
Yeah, it's only the two of the three. Get an RS4, please don't get a Mustang.
I don't know, because an RS4, it would be as much, if not more, to maintain than the M3.
All right, okay.
It would. They're all I don't think it matters.
Also, speaking of Mustangs, right? We've been on the road a lot. In the past 2 days, I have seen two Mustangs, EcoBoost, and they have had the worst exhausts on them, and they sound terrible. It sounds like a Fiesta.
It's an EcoBoost four-cylinder one.
Yeah, four-cylinder 2.3 that you get in the Focus RS. But these people insist on putting silly exhausts on them. And the one I saw on Monday as well had all this like tattoo art of like horses running through fields on the boot lid. And we're like, it's so nasty.
I think if you're going to get a Mustang, realistically...
So he's saying the GT, which is a 5-litre V8.
If you're going to get one, that is the one that
Trev's
you have to
here.
Get.
All right, Trev, we're talking about Mustangs.
All right, Trev.
We're going to buy you a Mustang with a 2.3-litre four-cylinder.
Four-cylinder?
I did like the one that TDC had recently, though, the Dark Horse.
Yeah, that was
really
nice.
Cool.
That was very nice, yeah.
That was very cool.
Yeah, they named it after me.
The Dark Horse.
Dark Horse, yeah.
You're more like a Shetland pony.
Fair.
I think get rid of the car.
Ooh.
But I would get something that, like just a lazy V8 something.
I think keep the M3.
I also say keep the M3.
Yeah.
But you guys have got to remember that you can do a lot of the work yourselves or you've got the funds to do something. Like a lot of people, if they get a bill of like $4,000 or $5,000 to fix this car, there's two things. That could be the end.
There's two things. Number one, it doesn't matter what V8 you buy. A V8 is going to cost a lot to maintain and run. End of.
No, some of them are a lot cheaper.
The only one that would be cheap is a Lexus V8 because they literally don't go wrong. It's impossible.
But then it's a luxury car and you're not in the right car.
Number two, I cannot sit here on this sofa with a straight face and take car maintenance advice from Rory McCurry.
There is an engine currently outside the unit.
If I know how to pick a broken car, I know how to pick a broken car, and I would pick the M3. No.
You know how to spend money on a car is what you do.
Okay, I think you and I would agree.
M3.
Stick with the M3.
Yeah, also, it's not depreciating at all. Yeah. A Mustang is.
Yeah, it's only done 107,000 miles. And if it's working now, just keep at it. Just keep up with maintenance.
Yeah.
Also, if you are worried, take it to our friends at Reedish Motorsport in Bristol. They can have a look over it, check everything, and then preventative maintenance, because James and the guys will be able to tell you anything that's wrong with it. Yeah. So, keep hold of it.
Just enjoy it. They're bloody good. You only live once. Just keep it. Enjoy it. Drive it. Take it on a little road trip.
Yeah, but Alex, Mustang is not the answer, Rory.
And put a carbon air box on it.
Oh.
How long have you got left before you have to head off?
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Yeah. 10 minutes sounds like enough time.
I'm really hungry. Enough time? Is it Chico time?
No, it's Trev time!
Trev time!
Trev.
Do you want to join us?
What are you eating?
Do you want to join us?
Have you got sweets?
Have you nicked our sweets?
Are you eating a bolt off that Land Rover?
Trev, do you want to have a little seat? Trev, like 5 minutes seat?
You take my seat, Trev. I think everyone's always wanted to know a bit more about Trev. So now's your time.
We've got one gums.
So Trev, you ever sit here?
Sorry, someone's doing well. They're from Waitrose.
They are. It does shopping.
Bloody hell.
All right, so you put your headphones on.
Here we go. Trev, everyone. It's our landlord, Trev.
Trev nearly fell backwards over the other end of the sofa. All right, Trev.
Just keep it like that. Yeah, perfect. How are we doing, Trev?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
I can't believe he's on the podcast. So for people who don't know Trev, he's our landlord. He is also a fixer of many things, and you have been helping us out a lot. I have been helping out.
Yes. Yeah.
But you enjoy it, don't you?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Good. Otherwise, you'd have to go and fix our bog every 5 minutes when we explode.
Oh, no, it's not that. I've done that.
But yeah, especially with the Mini and the Touareg, you've been helping out a lot, haven't you, Trev? Yeah.
Really, really good. So if you don't know Trev, you also used to work on a certain TV company called Top Gear, didn't you?
Yeah.
Making some of the cars. So why don't you talk us through some of the cars that you actually helped create?
Well, we created the stretch limos, the Fiat Panda and the MG.
So were you the man, like one of the mechanics, like fixing and bolting and welding these things together?
I actually made the MG myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
But the only trouble is it weighed a lot more than what it should have done.
Oh, okay.
Because I made it too strong.
Did you? Yeah. Did you use like, what do they call that? The
box steel.
Box steel, okay, yeah.
A box steel chassis.
Fantastic.
And then cross members.
Yeah, good times.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah?
It's
and you got to meet Clarkson and all the guys?
Oh, yeah. Lovely. Okay. So I used to have a good laugh with them.
Excellent.
Good old cup of tea and a chinwag, eh, Trev?
Yeah, indeed. So there was one story that Trev told me about a couple of days ago, actually, and I want to bring that up because it's quite interesting. You know that we were talking about the Citroen block of flats. Clarkson's block of flats. So we went to the Grampian Museum in Scotland recently, didn't we? And there's the Lotus that James May was driving.
Yeah, the is it not a Europa or something? Whatever like, it is. Yeah.
And then Hammond, what did Hammond have?
He had the Land Rover.
Yeah, the Land Rover. Yeah. So obviously you all remember that, the iconic scene of the Citroen block of flats on the motorway, swaying left and right.
Yeah.
And you were, you know, you were one of the men who created that as well. Yeah. So tell us about the build of that. And also, it did meet its maker at the end, didn't it? But that wasn't the car
it
that was
supposed. Wasn't supposed to, no.
Mm.
It was supposed to be Hammond's.
Okay, what happened then?
Well, while Clarkson was away, they decided to push these over because it was better.
Okay.
Because it looked a lot better.
There is a scene, isn't there, where he's eating ice cream.
Yep.
And then you see the Citroen go over the cliff and you're like, oh, this is so scripted, but it's still funny.
It wasn't scripted.
So he didn't know that his car was going over.
He didn't know his car was actually going to go over the cliff.
Fantastic.
Did he know that a car was going to go over?
Oh, he knew one was going over. He thought it was Hammond's. Because that's what they arranged.
That is quite funny.
Of course, Clarkson being out the way, they decided between themselves, nah, let's push these over.
Fantastic. And that must have been quite a clean-up operation, getting that out of the sea.
I don't know.
Nothing to do with you. So you obviously helped build those cars as well. And is it, I mean, was it a legal car to actually drive on the motorway?
Yes.
Okay. But it doesn't
they
look legal.
They all were.
Okay.
Every car we made had to be legal on the road.
But do they have to get IVA tested afterwards or how does it work?
The stretch limos had to be SVA'd.
Okay, SVA'd,
because they're too long. They were longer than...
Well, the Fiat Panda was 40 foot long. And they said, no, that but it doesn't matter whether it was SVA'd. It was never legal on the road.
It had to be shortened to 38, wasn't it?
We had to cut out 6 foot.
Really? Yeah. 6 foot?
6 foot out of it to bring it down to legally for on the road.
That's funny.
And that's why... It was split in half.
Yeah. And what about the Citroen? So that was road legal.
Citroen.
So you can build up.
The Citroen was road legal because we didn't actually change the body.
Okay.
Of any other body, any strength that was in the body stayed in it.
Yeah.
So you could build up from it.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. And what was your favourite car to help build on Top Gear?
Well, my favourite was the AMG.
Was it? Okay.
That was my project.
That was purely yours. Do you know where that is? Has that gone now to the crusher?
No.
Is it somewhere?
No, it did go to Bewley.
Oh, did it? Okay.
I don't know where it's gone from there.
Okay, interesting.
Because, I mean, it's a legal car.
Yeah.
Oh, it's actually a pickup.
It's actually a
legal pickup.
Mm. All right, okay. Maybe we should try and buy it and take Trev out shopping.
That would be nice.
That would be good. Imagine the gummies that you could fit in there.
Yeah, that would be nice. We could drive over the local railway line.
Yeah, so Trev has definitely had quite a colourful life. And if you guys want to see more of Trev, because we definitely do, then let us know in the comments. Trev, would you be back to tell us a few more stories about your life and stuff like that, what you've got up to?
Okay. Yeah, I ain't got up as much. You know.
I don't believe that for a second.
Have you seen Trev Shed yet?
I have seen Trev Shed, yeah. It's
nice.
It is nice. Yeah. But yeah, for now, thank you very much for watching the Auto Alex podcast with your eye holes and your ear holes. Thank you very much to Trev as well for also joining us at the end.
Thank you very much for having me on.
If you want to email us, you can do that. Trev, at what's the podcast?
Oh, don't ask me.
It's podcast at autoalexcars.com.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Whatever you do to the best of your ability. And we will see you next week on the Auto Alex podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Trev. Thanks.